This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, June 22nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. California adds sage-grouse protections. House ag leaders wrestle with foreign land concerns. And what's up with WOTUS? California adds sage-grouse protections. The Fish and Game Commission has voted to consider a petition to list the greater sage-grouse as threatened or endangered. Livestock and agriculture in general were cited as impacting the birds, along with several other factors. The decision grants full protections while the Department of Fish and Wildlife evaluates the status of the species. After CDFW's analysis, the commission will vote on formally listing it under the California Endangered Species Act. Kirk Wilbur, Vice President of Government Affairs at the California Cattlemen's Association, told the commission that ranchers have already undertaken significant conservation efforts to safeguard the sage-grouse. A CESA designation, he argued, would disincentivize or even punish those stewards. California Farm Bureau policy advocate Katie Little added that livestock grazing actually provides benefits to the species and its habitat. It effectively helps to manage wildfires and invasive plants, for example. Now keep in mind, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is taking comments through Monday on its proposed rulemaking for listing the sage-grouse. Voluntary conservation efforts previously led the service to withdraw a petition for the sage-grouse. And on that note, the service proposed on Wednesday to restore automatic protections for species listed as threatened. The Biden administration moved to roll back the Trump-era overhaul of the way the Federal Endangered Species Act is implemented. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. House Ag announces work group on H-2A reforms. Representative Rick Crawford, who's the new co-chair of a 14-member working group assigned to recommend reforms to the H-2A visa program, tells AgriPulse it's important that any changes be tailored to the varying needs of farmers that rely on imported labor. He says the House Ag Committee Working Group, quote, will try to adopt a customizable, scalable approach that fits the needs of each ag sector. We have to make sure that the source of labor is managed efficiently, effectively, and not with a one-size-fits-all approach. We have to make sure that source of labor is managed efficiently, effectively, and not with a one-size-fits-all approach, he said. So what's next? Well, the working group, split evenly between Republicans and Democrats, will start work after the July 4 recess. The group has 6 months to develop its recommendations. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. GAO report needed before considering restricting foreign land ownership. Growing lawmaker concerns over foreign ownership of agricultural land have spawned a number of bills proposing to restrict purchases by foreign investors. But House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson believes more information on the extent and impacts of foreign investment is needed before Congress acts. Thompson, the Pennsylvania Republican, was one of 130 lawmakers who sent a letter to the Government Accountability Office last October asking for review of foreign investment in U.S. farmland and its impact on national security, trade, and food security, as well as U.S. government efforts to monitor these acquisitions. He told AgriPulse he wants to see the results of the report before he considers including any foreign land ownership measures in the Farm Bill. I don't like to address things emotionally, and it seems that a lot of people are doing that as they're introducing bills, Thompson said. So I'm waiting for this data, and then we'll have a hearing. Now take note, Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow introduced a new bill with Senator Joni Ernst this week that would add USDA to the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. and require the panel to review foreign entities' land purchases or leases that exceed $5 million or 320 acres of land. Stabenow told AgriPulse yesterday she sees the Farm Bill as one possible vehicle for the measure. There's also a separate bipartisan effort that Senator Schumer has convened specifically looking at China and competition with China. So it's a possibility that we could do something there also. So we'll see, Stabenow said. Wyden and Crapo ask Biden to press Modi on India's ag trade barriers. India Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in Washington that to visit the White House, and two senators are asking President Joe Biden to confront him over Indian tariff and non-tariff barriers that have long frustrated U.S. farm groups and lawmakers. The United States and India share a close relationship grounded in shared democratic values and strong people-to-people ties, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Ron Wyden of Oregon and Ranking Member Mike Crapo of Idaho say in a letter to President Biden. At the same time, while Indian businesses continue to benefit from access to the U.S. market, India maintains numerous trade and investment barriers that harm U.S. producers across many sectors of our economy, including agriculture, manufacturing, and services. The senators highlighted Indian barriers to U.S. apples, blueberries, cherries, chickpeas, lentils, potatoes, wheat, and dairy products. Now take note, U.S. apple exports to India dropped by 80% in 2018. That was after the country raised overall tariffs on the fruit to 70%. Key Republicans press administration on WOTUS. What's up with WOTUS? In a nutshell, that's the question put to EPA Administrator Michael Regan and Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, Michael L. Connor, in a letter from House and Senate Republican committee leaders yesterday. Despite the Supreme Court's resounding rebuke of the significant nexus test underpinning the agency's definition of waters of the U.S., EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers have not directed their employees to implement the ruling, the lawmakers say. EPA is appealing court rulings that have prevented implementation of the rule in 26 states. We are concerned that the administration is now delaying implementation of the ruling, says the letter from Senators Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, and Representative Sam Graves of Missouri, Dave Rouser of North Carolina. Well, here's today's He Said It. This is a big step forward in the Water Storage Investment Program. That Water Commission Chair Matt Swanson in awarding Prop 1 funding to the first of seven storage projects. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, June 22nd, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.